Sock it to me?
Greetings and welcome to episode 110 of the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. The quest to document and make sense of the visible world around us is part of the human DNA, and as a result, impressive insight into our surroundings and its composition has been realized. But to date, no human construct has been able to answer questions such as, what is our purpose in life? For some, the answer is found strictly in religion, and in others, the world of science. But to those who are willing to forego certainty and acceptance, a conscious decision to look at a distant signpost ahead has been made. A signpost with two words, Kundalini ahead. What is Kundalini? I'm not sure, but stay tuned for a most edifying conversation with returning guest, Lindy Baker. We'll be right back.
You're listening.
To the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in one moment.
Like this story we got me in orbit.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 110 of the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jeff Chavez, sitting alongside the man who has witnessed the gamut of the paranormal from A to B, Mr. James Poston.
Hi, everybody. I'm too scared to look at C.
You're working on it. We're pleased to have a chance to speak to a returning friend and show regular. Now, she's living in Las Vegas, the land of one-armed bandits and all-you-can-eat buffets, Lindy Baker. Great to see you again, Lindy.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. Always good. Always a pleasure.
You're looking very sunny. Is all of Vegas that bright?
Very, very bright here. Plus, also, you know, you have the sun that reflects on the sand. And so that makes it, the sun reflects off that, the moon reflects off it. So it's a whole lot brighter than here, a lot brighter than in San Diego. When I first went back to California, I had a really hard time seeing at night because it was so dark in comparison to here in Vegas.
So you lived in Vegas before?
Oh, yeah.
So you moved back to Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, I was in California for 6 years.
Yes.
And I was here for 8, Texas 1 year. I've been around.
So what was the weather like there today? I mean, it's August the 26th.
It's hot.
Here in Harrisburg, it was about 85. What was it like in Vegas today?
Today, I think it was just only in the 80s, too. Let me look here at my phone.
Wow, that's practically
brilliant. Oh, I don't know, because Shady Side, Maryland just came up on my phone. Hold on a minute. That's where my kid lives. Right now, it is 102.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but where I was in Southern California got really hot too. And the difference was when they say there's a difference between like humid heat and dry heat, there seriously is.
Yeah.
That you really don't feel the heat as badly here because you don't have the humidity. You're not sweating.
You're not boiling. You know?
So, yeah.
I have to experience that. That's so foreign to somebody in the Northeast.
Well, the furthest out west I've been is San Juan, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not kidding. Dry heat is nicer.
Isn't that where you ran up with that Mexican rock band?
That was the Native American rock band, and it was just the one dude. Really nice guy, though.
I think they wanted to recruit you or something.
No.
No, they didn't?
No, this was that would have been a dream come true, though, let me tell you. And Jeff and I really want to take a trip out to Vegas sometime.
Bring the show down there.
Bring the show down there and do that whole list of things that you should do when you get to Vegas.
I don't know what that old list is.
Meet Chum Lee from Bondstores.
You know. You might not have done the list.
But I'm not a dude. See, but I'm not a dude. So the dude's list is going to be probably very different than the female's.
Oh, I'm going to look that up right now.
List. Yeah, I kind of think the guys go and they want to go see the naked dancer show. Yeah, some stuff like that. So not that. I mean, in fact, I was just talking about this the other day. I've been to see the naked dancer shows too. So I have some clients that are dancers here. So
naked dancers?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was a crack up because one of them invited me to her show And this was quite a few years ago, and I had a brother that had just moved out here, and I knew it was a nude show, but I didn't tell him. She had got me tickets to her show, so when we got there, he was just like flipping out. You know, like there were 50 naked women or whatever on the stage, and he just... No, there's a lot to do. There's a lot more besides, you know, gaming. There's just like different light shows and... See, a lot of people don't know, too, that there's like 5 or 6 sets of lakes that are here in Las Vegas. There's like Lake Mead, so you can go out there on, you know, different boat trips. You can do skydiving. You can, I guess I just heard from my friends last night that they're going to be remodeling Fremont Street now. It's a real fun place to run around. There's all different kinds of booths and street dancers, and I really love the city. There is something to do all the time. And you know, this really does dovetail with the show that we did before about karmic dissipation. They kind of integrate. What kundalini is supposed to be, it's like when sort of like when you arrive at a level of spiritual enlightenment, it's supposed to be seated. It's like an energy that is supposed to be seated in your spine. And when you reach to a certain kind of level of balance or spirituality, that goes off. And that as a result of that, you have, you just feel like you're an entirely new person, a totally different person. And I really do think that it changes people's personality. I think you get a whole lot more tolerant. There's just a whole lot of areas.
It's a spiritual transformation, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. And I look at it as because, you know, I don't look at things in terms of religion. I look at things I look in terms of I want to fit it into the physical reality. So I look at it as not so much as a spiritual arriving, but an actual, I want to say, like physical evolution on Earth, physical mental evolution on Earth, that you it's like you're above a lot of the things that I think are represented in the human ego, that you're just not as absorbed in this in a human ego, that you're it's like gosh, I got to think about this. It's like you become more compassionate and empathetic, very less judgmental. It's almost like you look at people and you have acquired this understanding of that kind of like each person is working out their own thing. So like, who are you to judge it? You focus more on like who you are and how you fit into the whole. How you're trying to be of service to other people in the world. There's a lot of the big I, me, you know, that kind of goes out with out of you when you go into that realm. And I do think like a lot of these people that are kind of like the swamis and the gurus and that kind of stuff, I think that they've gone through the kundalini kind of an experience. Because all I can say is it's like a higher level of being. It's a higher level of thinking where you don't get caught up in things like, you know, depression and obsession, okay. You know, obsessing over something. It's almost like you're more accepting that life is going to roll out the way that life is going to roll out.
So it's a loss of your ego, like you would get in meditation.
Yeah. Yes. And that's in reading some of the other people's opinion on it, too, that's what I see that they're talking about, that you can arrive at a similar at a state that gets the prerequisite by learning how to go into meditation, learning even with self-hypnosis or even like with myself when I started going into trance. Mm-hmm. In any of those, you're not thinking about you. You're not focused on you. You know, you're letting loose of the control of you, more allowing yourself to just be. I think it's a concept, really and truly. Like we could kind of talk about it, but I feel like until you went through it, you're going, oh, you know, now you get it.
Is it something that they have to go
speak to a practitioner such as yourself or to a metaphysical expert or something?
I don't really think so. You know, on this point, I'm going to say I'm not even going to claim to be a know-it-all on it. I can just only go by my own, you know, my own experience with it and what I've seen in some other people. I don't know that everybody is going to go through this at some point in their lives right now. When I say it dovetails with karmic dissipation, to me, karmic dissipation is the energy right now that is the catalyst in people going into this time where they're just so disoriented. You know, like one of my clients said to me, it's like somebody changed all the rules and nobody's telling me the rules. And that's really what's going on with people. The reason that they're going through depression to me is because they can't identify with life anymore. You know, mm-hmm. the things that you've been taught are truth are no longer true. You know, that you can't count on the same kind of things existing in the world, almost on any level, the way that you were taught that they were going to be. And to me, that's what's throwing everybody into confusion. There's this conflict between what you were taught is right and what you were taught is the world as it exists and the world at, in 2018, the way that it is. And to me, that's what causes depression.
Well, I definitely agree with her expression of life being way different from what it actually is, the way it was explained. I mean, I think that the number one thing I've learned at 38 years old is that today, right and wrong is essentially turning into a matter of convenience. Interesting. If it is convenient for somebody doing something wrong to do so, then they're going to justify it however they see fit because it's what they want. But then if you turn around and do the same thing to that person, oh, they're just going to raise all kinds of hell and point fingers, and suddenly you're the bad guy.
But see, that's the thing. What we're identifying, and I think the internet has done this because we know everything that's going on everywhere now, is that what you think is wrong isn't necessarily wrong. It isn't necessarily wrong to this other group of people. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. We don't have these neat little things kind of like they did in the past that, no, you know, if you did this, it was wrong. You know, if you cheated on your taxes, it was wrong. Now there's a whole lot of people saying, no, cheating on your taxes isn't wrong. It's what you should be doing, you know, to be able to survive, to save money. So, and I think that's where this depression and everything comes in, a lot of the anger and hostility, because people were taught it was going to be this way. They focused on living this kind of way, and they're finding out that that's not the reality we're living in anymore. Yep. That's what I help them do, is to start getting grounded in their reality, to see what old beliefs are getting in the way of you being able to move forward in your life, to get happy, to figure out why it is that you're being sad, or why, where's the conflict? Why are you being sad? Why are you being depressed? And being able to move forward to that time. And my psychic ability, of course, helps me with that.
Okay. A while ago, you mentioned karmic dissipation. That's where somebody's life seemingly breaks down, sort of like a car along the highway. You get a flat and...
In a way. Uh-huh. In a way, that is where everything that you have been attached to is no longer there for you to attach to it.
Friends and...
So like your friends move away, or, you know, it's like you lose your job, your house burns down with all your memories in it. A lot of people, but not just one singular event, that it's like all these events that you are familiar with and attached to start unraveling and start disappearing. And so we go into this fear and this hysteria about, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Because, you know, it's like my dad's not here anymore and this isn't here and I don't have my job and I don't, you know, I mean, and now jobs with my skills aren't here anymore. You know, so to me, it's a bunch of things that happen to the person at the same time. And I think that there's physical things. And that's why I'm saying it's kind of like they run sort of side by side with Kundalini, because Kundalini is, it's like, it's an energy of awareness is a really good way to put it.
Okay.
And so now you have heightened awareness. So you're aware of even little teeny tiny things. And to me, karmic dissipation is this energy that I've talked about before, that if you could picture on the Earth right now, it's sort of like maybe if we said if we saw a fog bank rolling in from the ocean, the mist that rolls in from the ocean, that is like there's this actual physical energy that is in the process of changing that's rolling in. So you don't think the same, you don't feel the same, you know, you kind of can't eat the same things, they don't react on your body in the same way that it used to. And both of them are really hard. They're more of things that I can talk about it, but until you really go through it, you really have no idea, you know. It's kind of like with love. Like people meet somebody and they say, oh yeah, I love them. But then maybe they get divorced, and then maybe later on they meet somebody else and they found out, well, that wasn't really love at all. I didn't know what love was until I had love, you know, kind of thing. So I think it's more of an experience that you have for a truer understanding of what it is. And I wrote down some things. I see one of your questions was, how can you recognize the phenomena occurring in your own life?
Yeah. Because a lot of people will mistake it for depression.
Yes. Well, they can, because there's only a part of it, I think. I don't think you get depressed with it. I really don't believe that you do. I think maybe you get confused. You get very scared because you feel – maybe you feel like you're going crazy because your mind's doing all this tripping on you. Your physical body's doing weird stuff. You know, you may have like an inexplicable – feeling like some energy is making your body shake. Not that you have your body shaking, but there's an energy maybe shaking your body. I can remember when, and it's good we're having this conversation because it's bringing back a bunch of stuff that I totally forgot about. I was about 30 years old at the time, and a few weeks ago, you know.
I did not one year ago. One year. Let's be fair.
Yeah. So one of the things that was happening to me is I would get this thing where the adrenaline I had running through my body was as if I was on speed, but I wasn't, you know, as if I was on like had 80 cups of coffee, like in the last hour or something, that there was this tremendous amount of adrenaline. I couldn't sleep. It was like when I did sleep, it was like my eyes were kind of like still open. I couldn't like clean the house, run enough, do anything enough that I still had like this overabundance of energy. There was a part where I actually thought I was having maybe I had a brain aneurysm, or I was having some kind of like a psychological breakdown, something. And I can remember feeling like, okay, here I am is my physical body. But at the same time, it's almost like I'm my own shadow, that my shadow is also like a dimension or another person. And then on top of that, there is like this another level of or dimension that was kind of above me, that almost like I felt like I was 3D, like I was seeing everything in my world from three different dimensions. My clairvoyancy was extremely enhanced, that like if I went to a restaurant, I could actually tell you the name of the waitress without looking at her tag. And so just living life was just super hard. And this was in a very short period of time. I think it was like within only like a couple of weeks. And I really was feeling like, at the time I lived in Highland, California, I was married with my kids, and, the Patton Hospital was down the street where they put, you know, like the extremely violent, mentally crazy people. And I was thinking, maybe I need to go down and knock on their door, you know, to try to find somebody to reach out and help me. And I was lucky to have a girlfriend at the time. The way that we had met, her husband had attempted suicide, and I was working with the police department, San Bernardino Police Department at the time as a psychic. And they weren't going to look into it because he hadn't been gone long enough. And I said, no, he attempted suicide here. He took like 700 pills. I didn't know this, you know, I knew it psychically. And I told them where to go find him. And they did find him. And I told him he's face down on such and such a beach. It was like 2 hours later, 2 hours away, I mean. And so they dispatched him out because they trusted in the things I told him. And they found him, and he lived. And so that's how she and I became friends, that he wanted me to where they had him come an ICU. And he had asked the police to have me come there. And what he was asking me was, why didn't you let me go? That the whole time I was laying there, you know, dying, I just, it was like I saw your face and you wouldn't let me go. Anyway, so we became really close friends because she trusted me in all my insanity. You know what I mean? Like, if I said something, she believed it because I said it, even though in everybody else's reality, it would be, oh my God, is this woman out of her mind? You know? So I was lucky because she was with me. And I can remember I called her up. My husband was a traveling salesman, so he was out of town. And I called her up and I said, Sally, I think I got an aneurysm or something. I think, you know, maybe you should come over and drive me to the hospital. And she goes, why? You know, like, what's going on? And I go, I'm like seeing dimensions. Like, I'm seeing like these waves of energy and everything. That's really weird. And so she said, well, you know, I don't have a car. I said, well, can I come over? She said, sure. So her house was just a short distance away. So I went over there. And there was actually at one point, and I was just remembering this morning, where I had felt like I had changed color, that I actually felt like I was like iridescent green. And I'd see auras, you know. And so I actually thought like my hands and everything had turned green. Mm-hmm. But I didn't say that out loud because, you know, I already felt like I was a wackadoo and I wasn't going to help it along. And she looked at me, and this is what just freaked the hell out of me. And she looked at me and she says, oh, my God, can you see that? It's like your face looks so different. It's like there's like three different faces there, and
get out. You're, really?
And you look green, and that just like freaking freaks me.
That can't be good.
Seeing auras.
Yeah, and she said, "Go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror." Well, there is no way I was gonna look in a mirror. You know, I was absolutely terrified of what I was gonna see when I was in a mirror. And then I did have this thing. It started at the base of my spine, and it felt like this warm, electrified energy. It wasn't painful. It felt like an energy, and it started moving from the base of my spine, and it went up my spine. And I have like a childhood issue with my spine. Anyway, I have scoliosis, a very severe scoliosis. My spine is twisted. And so I felt this thing like going up, and then I felt like it went to my head, and there was, I felt that the way I could word it is, I felt like you would maybe, now you could relate to it because you could say downloading something into your computer, you know? And I felt like every piece of wisdom and knowledge available in the universe was just downloaded into my head. And even though I couldn't think of it in terms of this sentence and that sentence and this sentence, I just felt like now I had this almost like super encyclopedia attached to my brain.
This is a Kundalini. Okay.
This is what I believe was my going through the process of Kundalini. And so it was scary because it was new, and, you know, me, like everybody else who watched too many crazy, scary Hollywood movies with their made up stuff. And, so I stayed with her. I was actually afraid to leave. I was actually afraid, to drive my car. It's kind of like, I felt all right. I felt wholesome. I felt wholesome. I felt aware. I felt vital, you know, like I had like this like feeling of like being like a new baby or something, where you feel vital, like I've never seen a or experienced a horrible thing in my entire life. And so I had to go get my kids. They were coming out of school. And so she went with me, and I was still pretty shaky going home. And then in the days after that, my daughter, I think, was about maybe 7 years old at the time. And I think it was the day after that, my daughter actually looked at me. We were sitting at the breakfast table before I took him to school. And she says, "Mom," she goes, "there's something wrong with you." And I said, "What do you mean there's something wrong with me?" You know? And she said, "No, it's like you're different. Like, I don't know. I'm not comfortable. It's like you're another person." And I just thought that that was for a weird thing for a seven-year-old to be stating and dressing. And so then it was after that. And I had a couple friends that were also, you know, psychic. We were pretty well hidden at that time. You know, at that time, back in the 80s, a lot of people became ordained ministers because there were a lot of towns, and there still are, that have these archaic laws on their books that say if you even so much as have a precognitive thought and you don't belong to a church, you know, you're not a minister, that's against the law, that you could be arrested for that. In fact, I think there's still a law on the books in San Bernardino, California like that.
So it's okay for a minister or somebody of the cloth to have precognition, but a lay person like yourself is a no-no.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And there's a lot of cities and states that still have those laws on there. I mean, those laws made, you know, like in the 1800s and stuff. If you Google for it, I'm sure you can find it. There was a lady in Azusa, California, that sued against that law and won because I guess she'd been arrested for it. And she said, well, you know, it's kind of like that's what stockbrokers do. You know, as they're using their intuition, they're guessing at what stock's going to do, you know, what a stock's going to go
right
this way, that way, or the other way. And she used a lot of examples, and she actually won her case. And I guess they had to rescind that law then in Azusa, California. But anyway, so back to the Kundalini thing. So I did, you know, I was talking to different people, and you couldn't go Google, you know, I love Google. I love the internet. And so I had one of the ladies that I knew who was very, very spiritual lady. And she said, well, that would be Kundalini. And so it was then that I went down to the library and tried to find some books, which were at that time very hard to find. And so I was able to find some books on Kundalini then. And they explained it. There's some of them that say like, oh, well, you'll see serpents before you go into it, which I don't agree with that, because to me, if you're dreaming, I do a lot of dream study and dream interpretation. And if you're dreaming about snakes, those are problems. And then you have to look at what the snake is doing. If you're killing a snake, it means there's a problem you've been dealing with that's going to go away. If the snake is like Ebola and it's suffocating you, it means that there's some kind of major issue that you're dealing with, and it's doing bad health things to you. If you're there's just a lot of other associations with a snake. So I don't really see it as a snake thing, although I guess way back in, I'm not sure if it's the Hindu religion or what it is, but they believed there that it was more of like a serpent kind of energy thing that crawled up your spine knot by knot by knot and brought in this, I guess you could say it, an ascended being awareness kind of level. And they more attributed that experience to their spiritual leaders, that's how you recognize the spiritual leader, because they had gone through that.
Right.
And you can agree and not agree. I think there's a lot of people that go through it, and they're not spiritual leaders. These are your people that you might even call them light workers or whatever, maybe like the Mother Teresa kind, you know, that they're just out there being of service, and they're not judging other people. They think of people that were connected to all people. I don't look at Kundalini. I have to associate Kundalini with, I don't think anybody in depression is going to go through Kundalini. because to me, depression is an absence of higher energy, higher frequency. And to me, Kundalini is a higher frequency.
So you mentioned that Kundalini is not depression, and you were able to go through it through the guidance of a friend. Does Kundalini come to everybody?
I don't have an answer for that. I can say, in my opinion, no. Because I, again, going to this lower vibratory thing that I very much believe in, that I don't see how people in a depression, because depression is evidence of a lower vibration. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see where you could kick into Kundalini when you're in a depression.
Okay.
I think you could find maybe a similar level of frequency, maybe if you were on one of these adrenal producing drugs. You know, it's like, say, if you're on cocaine or something, I think maybe there's a comparative level, because cocaine is like a false stimulation of your adrenals and therefore a false stimulation of your frequency, your energy frequency. But I don't think that you could, what would I call, overlap the dimensions by being able to, you know, to be on that, even though I know that there's a lot of people on cocaine that feel that they're in three or four different dimensions. I guess what I would say about Kundalini is it didn't go away. It doesn't go away. Where if you were doing like cocaine, you might be on your high. But then when that went away, you'd be going right back to the level of energy that your body was in, or even lower than what you were on before that.
It's not a psychotropic. It's not a, it's not a harmful drug or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
I'm just trying to figure out why it is you went through this Kundalini. And I believe you, because your daughter, for your 7-year-old daughter who has no awareness of what a Kundalini is, and to say, Mom, you look different. You seem like a different person. Did it forever trip her out, or did she kind of grow to accept it?
I don't think my daughter's ever grown to accept anything about me, really. So I don't know.
It's a shame.
But yeah, it is. But I think it's over time, because again, it was sustained. It didn't go away. That was the level that I was at. And, you know, it's like my trance, when I was in a reading, it was like I could see worldwide events that I really truly believe, because, you know, I am known for seeing the bombings in New York City before they took place. In fact, there were a lot of people really ridiculed me and laughed at me and said, oh, my God, you know, like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and you're just trying to create some kind of drama and trauma. Well, and I do have affidavits that will testify to the fact that a full year before the bombings in New York, I was talking about them. My radar was like a Sputnik off the planet, kind of like looking down at all this information, you know. And I really feel like before I went to that total opening that I would call Kundalini, I don't think I would have had that capability to see those things that are in New York. The same thing is with the tsunami that happened. I don't remember what year that was, if that was 2011 or when that was. I didn't actually see the tsunami, but what I did see was that there was going to be this unpreventable event where a couple hundred thousand people were all going to die at the same time, and that it had to do with water. But I couldn't find the location or name the location. But also when I got that information, it was like I said, well, there's nothing you can do about it. So, and I feel that maybe this Kundalini is saying, you know, it's like going from high school to college. I just felt like my visions and my dreams were very much more vivid. Other people that I've seen go through it. I met one lady one time. I don't usually go to things like psychic fairs. I just don't really resonate with that. And there was a lady that was walking through this one. I was there for other reasons. And she just kind of had like this dazed look on her face, She didn't know where she was or what she was doing or anything. She came over. She actually walked up to me and she said, maybe you can tell me what is wrong with me. What is going on? And I said, well, what is it that you're experiencing? And she said, well, I feel like I'm in three different places at one time. I'm not afraid. It's just that it's like noises are louder. Like I can hear somebody whispering over there in the corner of the room. And I think I'm going crazy. I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. And so we talked and I had said to her, no, I think you're just going through some, you know, some kind of energy change. What is it you do for a living or whatever? And she was a teacher. And so we just had this very long conversation about it. And I assured her that she was not having a nervous breakdown and she wasn't crazy. And so she could talk to me about several things that were going on. But I really did feel after that like an increase in my IQ level. I would say I don't have to have answers to things. Just recently I have porphyria. Yep. Skin kind of break out if I'm in the sun, and it just wasn't going off my face. It just wasn't going away. And so kind of like driving along in a car, and I thought, God, I wonder, antibiotics aren't taking this away. I wonder what would take away. And this is an example of this IQ thing. And I hear this voice and it says, Witch Hazel. Now, Witch Hazel is not something I'm going to think about.
I have full bloom psoriasis. I've tried just about everything under the sun. I did try Witch Hazel.
What I would say is try Witch Hazel.
I've tried. Because
I was feeling like I needed to bring that up to just pat the Witch Hazel on there. Well, it's your choice. But what Spirit is telling me is Witch Hazel. And I never argue when Spirit tells me anything. So that's what I did that day is I came and I put the Witch Hazel on it and all my stuff is clearing up really nicely now without antibiotics.
This voice that you're talking about, I'm sure some of our listeners will be interested. Is it a voice that if another person were in the room would be able to hear, or is it something that you hear through your inner ear or whatever it is, your third eye? I'm not sure.
I feel like you hear it through your inner ear because the way that you hear, you can only hear to certain levels anyway. Human beings can only hear to certain levels.
Right.
It has to do with the follicles that are in your ears. And so to me, that maybe it's somehow or another, there's an energy that is moving those, that you actually hear something that is like a sound. I would say it's your voice in your head, but it's not your voice. It sounds different. It has a different rhythm. It has a different tone. It's a voice you hear outside your head and not something like when, say, you're creating a thought up in your head. And the practice that I give for people, one of the first lessons when I used to teach my classes, and I guess I'm teaching them again through the podcasts, I call it a stream of consciousness journal. And you just sit in a quiet place without any kind of disruptions or anything. And then you're going to listen to your head talk to you. You're going to listen to your own mind talk to you. And you sit with a pencil and a paper. And I don't recommend typing because that uses other, muscles and thought recognition and stuff like that. But with a pen or pencil and paper. And you write down everything that you hear in your head. So you would sit down and say, like, you start maybe and you go, Lindy said to write down everything I'm thinking. Oh, there's a fly buzzing by me right now. And so everything I have no idea what to write on this piece of paper. And that's what you're writing as your head is talking to you. And as you do that, some people it happens real fast, other people not as fast, takes them a little bit more time to do that. You may hear this voice going, so how are you today?
That is freaky.
Or you're going to get a letter in the mail on Friday. And so what I did then is, this is one of the practices I started clear back in the 70s to get in tune, to get clarification, because sometimes you'll think something is psychic, but it's your imagination, you know? Or it's your conscience telling you something and it's not really a cognitive kind of an element. And this is what Spirit actually dropped this in my lap and kind of taught me to do it. And so I started with what I call the stream of consciousness journal. And you don't try to create thoughts, you're listening. And you listen to what your brain wants to talk to you about. And you start writing that down. And as you do that over time, you'll see that there's different tones. There's different rhythms. You may have something come in and it's got a Scottish accent. And you might go, where the hell did that come from?
You've been listening to the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast with Lindy Baker in Kundalini Ahead. Stay tuned next Sunday, September 9th, for the exciting conclusion.